Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
And so it is the time, as we head into June, for Annette Andre's fabulous audio missive from San Diego. Annette, when last we spoke, yourself and Arthur were just about to actually engage in a trip out in May to a restaurant. How did it go?
We didn't actually get there. I can't remember what happened, but we didn't actually get there. But we've had a couple of wonderful takeouts that we've gone and brought back, and we're planning probably to a cafe next week.
Well, that's okay, because the sense of anticipation is important, as we also welcome to the airwaves our wonderful graduate these days of public relations, and now public relations executive doing all sorts of wonderful things within the PR car industry. Ben Lewis, how are you, Ben?
I'm well, thank you. How are you both?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Exactly. It's linking up Lincoln, London, San Diego. Annette, what would you like to share with us this month?
All right, well, there'll be one less for Sunday brunch. It's no secret that I'm addicted to crime fiction. I read it much like the Arab uses worry beads to calm the blood and induce a sense that all's well within the kingdom. But my cozy world, where all problems are neatly resolved at book's end, has recently been assaulted by heathen hands. After many decades, the resident crime fiction reviewer for the New York Times Book Review has been replaced by a new quill, installed without a by-your-leave explanation for the changing of the guard. And with the replacement has come the revelation that, like Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof, I've discovered that, contrary to my self-image as a free-range thinker, I'm really a traditionalist at heart. Until last month, every Sunday morning, along with a rotating menu of pancakes or puzzles, I opened the book review to the crime column and tucked in for time spent with a like mind, coming away with at least two or three new titles to add to my already groaning bedside table. Why this woman of the shadowed world of evildoers will no longer be my Sunday brunch companion is unknown, but so far, her replacement has failed to fit a toe into her shoes. Where I could count on at least half her column devoted to a sampling of British and European talents, steeping their stories in exotic and complex atmospheres, I'm now confronted by characters and plots that echo the worst of today's TV serials. Gone are the Victorian fogs and flying hansoms. The Roman police inspector rather spent his time cooking. The opera-loving Scotland Yard DC. None of these seem to inhabit this new reviewer's likes. And I'm the poorer for it. I'm also a sucker for the classic 1940s American whodunits that launched me into the netherworld of what one waggish reviewer called the kapow kapow, somewhere a Roscoe barked in the night style of writing. These are the gritty, mean streets of a long past Los Angeles, starring hard-boiled chamooses like Sam Spade following the trail of the Maltese Falcon, and written by mugs like Raymond Chandler and Dashiell Hammett. Out of their mouths tumbled a new and exciting vocabulary. Shyster for a bent lawyer, heaters and Roscoes for guns, and flatfoots for coppers, whose morals shifted faster than a three-card Monty hustler. There's none of Hollywood's tinsel in these books. Instead, the crimes take place in the catacombs of lies and deceit that the criminals and the private eye clients bring to the pages that make these stories timeless and addictive. After a year of pandemic upheaval, this latest fracture in my mental bomb shelter approach to staying sane has triggered my tipping point. I've willingly surrendered to the reality of what it takes to do without to stay alive these days. But the sudden, unexpected demise of my escape route to maintaining a stiff upper is a bridge too far. And so, in this moment of crisis, I'm throwing myself on the kindness of strangers in the hope that some of you out there will share your mutual love of crime fiction and send your favorites to my Facebook page. Until then, he's looking at you, kid.
Wow, tremendous. I mean, and coping with emails popping up on the computer, various alert signals.
Come through just,
I mean, the 21st century is ping, 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 ping. I don't know what's going to happen with this.
I know. I always forget to turn. I'm not sure how to turn it off, but anyway.
it's a whole new world. But anyway, we also welcome another graduate, recently, of course, currently, as I say, looking for her first internship. It'll happen, I've no doubt. Jessica Burtis, how are you, Jessica? Currently muted. She's okay now. She's unmuted. And we still can't hear her. I think we can hear her now. No, it's like a seance. It's like Zoom, connecting all sorts of bits and pieces there. Try logging out and logging back in again, Jessica, and then all will be well with the world. Ben, let's turn to your good self, because you've always struck me as being, as we know, when we spoke, a secret hardball detective follower. You like the kind of the adventure serials and various other aspects. Was Annette's plea there for a kind of contemporary crime fiction soul, something that resonated with yourself?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting, actually. And the way you, I'm funny enough, actually, digressing slightly, the way you're reading it, I sort of get lost in it in a really nice way. It allows me to sort of develop pictures in my head of what's going on in the situation. You kind of feel like you're there. It's amazing. But yeah, it really does. And, you know, I guess it's all that, really. But generally, it's really nice. And I think crime fictions they're fascinating things. I think, actually, you know, being able to sort of sit here and listen to Annette discuss it, it's actually sort of, it's quite enlightening, but also makes me feel, as I said, makes me feel like I'm in this sort of this scenario with you. It's really nice. And actually, I used to watch a lot of Randall Hopkirk as well when I was younger, for my parents. So it's very strange. I mean, we've spoken over the phone before with Alex, but it's the first time I've actually sort of met you over Zoom. Yeah, so nice to meet you.
Yeah, all those years, Ben would faithfully be our co-host in the Midweek Drive on Wednesday evenings, etc., telephoning your contacts and all the rest of bits and pieces. And thanks to the magic, it's a COVID bonus, let's face it, a COVID bonus of technology coming to the fore, which is great stuff. Jessica, you're back with us now. Hopefully you're unmuted. And can we actually hear you? No, it's just one of those strange and bizarre scenarios. I don't know. Sometimes it's most people try and I don't know. We can keep on trying. You can log out, log in again. We'll keep a candle burning for you. Obviously, you can hear us. You can always write the questions down.
The volume turned up. Have you turned the volume up? I forget that sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. One way, shape, or form, we should be. Never mind. It's the strange, wonderful thing of using her father's computer, where you think, what's happening? But it's good to see you anyway. And again, feel free to sort of contribute via writing things down and holding them up on paper. Ben, any questions you'd like to put to Annette about life, the universe, and other such stuff?
Yeah, I guess what's next in terms of project wise, if you can discuss that at all, or is there anything sort of going on in the near future that I guess that you perhaps are able to share with us?
Well, absolutely nothing that I can see because of all the travel arrangements and everything else. I can't do that. And the ironic thing is that last year, at the end of the year before, I was in London and I'd been offered two films, which were due to start around about April last year. So of course I arrived home, and within a matter of about 4 weeks, we were all in lockdown. Films went flying out the window. Meanwhile, during the year, I was offered two more and couldn't do them. My next project is probably never, but.
So what would you like to do? What would be the first thing you could do then, once, I guess, restrictions, or particularly travel restrictions, start to ease?
I'd like to work again. I'd like to do some film work. Yeah. Okay. I haven't retired. I shall never retire. But it just depends what goes. Meanwhile, I'm having a wonderful time draining the library and everything else for all that. I've got my favorite set of writers, and they take me back into centuries ago or into the present. And the thing is that with a lot of these stories, particularly, I'm very choosy about who I read, the writers, you know, the authors. I was telling Arthur the other day that I'm learning so much because these writers, if they're good, they do a lot of research about the times and what happened in those times and what they did. And I mean, it's quite something. And another one I'm reading, I have there's a writer called Daniel Silver, who writes wonderful books about, it's mostly to do with the Middle East, and they're modern, they're up to date. But I learn more about the history of the Middle East and the Arabs, the Jews, the this, that, and the other, than I ever would have done at school or even from life. And I'm fascinated. I mean, there are things that I had no idea how they happened, and now I know. Just from reading these wonderful books. I mean, it's a novel, you know. It involves some violence, and here I am, violence and all of that sort of stuff. But they're good, yeah. And
wonderful. Okay, brilliant. And I guess Jessica, I don't know if you want to pop a message on the chat if you've got any questions on there. What's that, Alex?
Communicating via chat, Ben. And
yeah, hopefully... it was the chat icon at the bottom. Exactly. But you can tell I do Zoom calls every day, aren't you?
it is great. We went with a whole range of things. Jessica, is your microphone now working?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you, Alex. I never would have known how to control Zoom. I don't understand it, but now I know. Thank you. So, and if I can ask, are you interested in crime movies as well, or is there something very specific about novels that makes you want to focus on that?
Oh, you mean reality? Am I interested in reality, crime, reality?
Yes, kind of like that kind of, or just no, you prefer the book?
No, I'm not. That I don't need. There's enough around us every day of the week. So that I don't need. What I do is I escape into these other books, but also I'm fascinated by other worlds, other times, and what may have happened. There's a lot of knowledge out there that I didn't know about. But no, it's a novel that I like. I don't want to know about today, thank you.
And of course, Leslie Charteris, who of course created the character of Simon Templar, very much earned his corn by actually producing that on a regular basis. And the shift of Simon Templar from the 1930s to the 1960s and 70s, that proves the timelessness of the character.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
Dennis Spooner, of course, one of the creators, co-creators of Randall and Hopkirk. Did you feel that Dennis was also a keen fan of the kind of hardball detective fiction? I mean, there is a sort of feeling that Randall and Hopkirk were the 1960s equivalent of Sam Spade.
Yeah, I suppose there is actually, with a little of the occult thrown in, which made it interesting. I don't know. I don't know about Dennis. I know that he was... You know, the Monty Berman, the producers, etc., were keen on keeping it as a real straight series. Mm. But Dennis was very receptive to our ideas, Mike and Kenny and my ideas of adding comedy. And he liked that. So I think, yes, because, you know, Sam Spade, etc., there was quite a lot of wonderful funny lines in those books and the sharpness of the dialogue and the whole thing. So he may well have been. I don't know.
I've got to ask Ben, obviously brought up well by his family, has sort of introduced a lot of ITC series and worked through that process, made him the man he is today. What kind of fascinated you about Randall and Hopkirk deceased? We're talking obviously about the Mike Pratt, Annette Andre, Kenneth Cope version as opposed to the Vic and Bob.
Yeah, of course. And likewise with the Saints as well. We used to watch that a lot too. I think certainly with both of those, I mean, Randall and Hopkirk, it was the fact that obviously Hopkirk was effectively dead, but he was a ghost. And it was the fact that a ghost was interacting, but was always part of, still very much part of the circle and helping to solve the crimes. I found that fascinating, but also particularly from the Saints side of things, it was the regular characters, even the detective. I think that was quite funny, sort of seeing him in every couple of episodes or whatnot, and part of the whole scene. But I think generally the storylines were gripping. They were interesting, and I guess with a lot of good sort of detective series and ongoing programs, they have a strict format which they stick to in terms of the way that each episode is structured, and people like that sort of structure. That's what keeps people interested, because they know exactly what's going to happen at what point, but you still don't know. It still leaves you guessing by the end. I think it was very interesting. It was very interesting, and it's a shame. Obviously, it couldn't go on for longer, but obviously that's obvious reasons. And there's no wonder it had a massive audience.
Yeah, it seemed to. I mean, who would have thought that people would still be watching it today and talking about it and doing shows about it and Zoom? It's amazing. I don't know a lot of series from, let's say, the 80s on that are producing the same kind of following. I don't know. Am I wrong?
Well, it's interesting because one of our other regular co-presenters, who will join you, Annette, because you both live in San Diego, somewhere along the base, that's Jean Bruce Scott. Jean, of course, is just taking those tentative steps in terms of the following for Airwolf and Magnum PI. And I think there are areas there that kind of also echo that. I mean, Jessica, you've obviously joined in with Jean several times for that. You've seen Annette perform on that sort of basis. What is it that appeals to yourself about those shows? And, of course, the Resonance Rewind weekly show we do with Robin.
I think the characters are always what appeals to me. I think in certain shows or specific genres, the characters kind of become the cornerstone of the show and what brings me back. I think with a lot of what we've been watching, with Airwolf and things like that, I was getting less so than not as much as the plot. I think with science fiction, I tend to get very into the plot and the world building. And I know you said you loved seeing other worlds, and I really love that too. And whenever it's something that's a bit more realistic, like Airwolf or something like that, I love just meeting the characters and seeing how they kind of create this whole arc of characterization that just becomes very special and remarkable. And that's what I always just remember. I think that that's what makes those genres very popular. People just get very attached.
This is something which obviously we'll discuss further with Arthur when he joins us again next week to actually sort of address the whole issues of the writer and the creator and the joy of that. When I think Pamela Sue Mann will also be joining us, a musician from New York who's a huge fan, again, of some of Arthur's work. So it's great stuff. In fact, I'll send you over some of Pamela's music so you can actually say, that's great. Or indeed, you could say it's the classic distracted line you once gave to a Eurovision Song Contest entry, which was, I'd rather poke hot needles into my eyes than listen to that again. No, don't worry. It's OK. Pamela's stuff is a lot better than that, honestly. Ben, share with us, what are you doing now? Because obviously we've chatted about various other bits and pieces. I mean, now that clearly, news today, breaking news, the R rate has actually gone over one, and suddenly we're actually on an upward curve as far as COVID infections are concerned. It's okay, Matt Hancock says, don't worry, we're all well with the world. But then again, after Dominic Cummings said things, what can we believe? But anyway, Ben, how are you finding life and what are you doing these days?
Well, firstly, I mean, Randall and Hancock wouldn't go down very well, would it?
I don't know. Randall and Hancock deceased. That might work.
It would be quite a line. I'm currently in my office. You've probably noticed the office in Soho. So we're in Soho Square. And at the moment, I'm the only person in here. I've been the only person today just because we've had a few things to send out for work. But Yeah, generally speaking, we're very busy, extremely busy, which is, I guess, only a good thing in these times. But yeah, everything's going well. It's ticking along very nicely. Next week, we've got our first car event of the year in central London. So that will be at the Household Artillery, Royal Household Artillery Company, I think it's called, Royal Artillery Company, in the city. So yeah, very much looking forward to that. Very exciting. And it's been raining all day today after a long week of glorious sun. So
Ben, what do you... I see cars in the background. I mean, I don't know. Tell me what it is you're doing.
Yeah, sure. So I work in an automotive PR agency. So we primarily specialise in automotive PR. So we work with global car brands, anything from sort of the latest hypercars, supercars, well over £1 or 2 million, all the way down to startups, tech companies. And it could be people who make batteries. It could be 4x4 buses. It could be absolutely anything. So usually, you know, motorized vehicles as such, but we're increasingly working with more tech brands as well, like e-scooters, that sort of thing. So it's changing quite a lot as the times are changing, so we have to change as well. Yeah, we do a mixture of things. So it could be events, it could be social media support, it could be digital PR, or simply just getting people in the news. And it's helping manage reputations, getting people, you know, in the spotlight where necessary, and just sort of helping to guide them.
Because it looks like they're race cars behind you.
Yeah, so these are, in fact, these are behind me. There's a couple of photos. We have them lining the wall, but these are from events and stuff we've done. So you can see over my left shoulder, it's a Maserati 250F from, I think it's Formula One back in the sort of 50s, if I'm right. And then this car is a BAC Mono. So it's made in, it's the Brigg Automotive Company based in Cheshire. So they make, it's primarily a track car. But photos as well.
You could say anything, Ben. I wouldn't know my Maserati from a Ferrari. It's just not.
No, it's a bit of a different world. And that's the trouble, right? So I always find it difficult to explain my job to people, particularly PR anyway. But also, in automotive PR, if it's not your interest, it's hard to be passionate about it. So you've got to love it when you work here. Granted, there's a lot of long hours, lots of long days, but it's also very rewarding. So it's certainly worth it.
To see proof, Annette, that our graduates are thriving and progressing even after doing their time on the Madrid Drive. It's great stuff there. Jessica, any questions you'd like to put to either Annette or Ben at present?
How is everyone's June going? I love just at the beginning of the month asking how it's going. I know, Ben, you said it's been raining quite a lot. We have had a rainy day too, so it's been a little dreary. But does anybody have like just kind of non-work related things that you're kind of starting? Like any hobbies or anything like that?
I mean, that trek, Annette, to the your first restaurant, which we were so anticipating you going to the restaurant in May. So Jessica's keen to do that.
Yes. And
is that going to be postponed until June now?
Are you asking me or Jessica? Me?
No, yourself, Annette.
Yes, we're going next week. Yes. It's actually a celebration because it's our anniversary. Did you remember that?
Annette, you can't expect Arthur to keep everything in mind. I mean, I know he's married to your good self, but sometimes, being a male, you know, these things slip our mind. It happens.
Rubbish. I tell him all the time. I remind him about 6 months beforehand. You know, we've got an anniversary coming up in 6 months' time.
So that sounds good.
Hobbies, I don't have many... In answer to Jessica, hobbies, it can't really... Oh, yes, I do, actually, in a way. We've always had animals. We've always had cats, mostly cats, dogs, etc. Unfortunately, last year, our very last cat, he was very old, so he died. And we decided not to get any more animals. What has taken over is the birds. We get lovely birds here. I've got two hummingbird feeders, and I've got a long seed feeder and a cake, and then I've got a platform thing, which has got two containers with grape jelly in it, and then a lot of grapes and pieces of apple. And it was for, there are birds here, which you know, I'm sure, Jessica, is orioles.
Oh, so beautiful.
Yeah. And the orioles started to come, and I found out that they love grapes and certain fruits, but particularly grapes. So they started coming for that. But on having said that, all the other birds suddenly like grapes and grape jelly. And I've got floods of we look at them, it's very funny. We've got a pair of mockingbirds. And they're wonderful. I mean, you listen to them, they're just amazing what they you know them. Mm-hmm.
Truly.
And yeah, they're wonderful. Well, we've got a pair here, they're obviously nesting. And he loves, or one of them, both of them, love the grapes and now the apples. And they're a bit of a bully. So they come up and they shoo the other ones away, and they then pick up big pieces around. But it's just wonderful to have them. You hear all these cacophony of sounds. And I'm forever getting out my book on birds to find out which one is that one? What one's that? Oh, I don't know. So yes, I've got that as a hobby.
I think it's absolutely wonderful. I think, you know, I kind of shared that because we've recently started like spreading seeds outside in our backyard and letting our we let our cat sit at the glass door and watch, and we've been having lots of we just like to tease him a lot, the poor cat, but we have lots of couples. There's been some cardinal couples that come, and they're state birds, so I love seeing them. And they're kind of considered to be like the most romantic birds because they're like, they'll like feed each other seeds and kiss, and it's so cute to see. And it's
they'll remind each other about their wedding anniversary 6 months in advance. Great.
We don't have cardinals down here. We don't have the cardinals. We did when we were in New York. They're beautiful.
Yes. Oh, I love them. And it's been so just nice. And the hummingbirds are coming back. We haven't put out feeders yet, but they remembered our house. So feeding birds, it's so beautiful. It's like something that you can't pet them. You just have to admire them. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah, and they've all got personalities and these beautiful calls that they make, and you hear them talking to each other. Yeah. So anyway, that's my that's our sort of movie during the day.
I can sense, Annette, that you'll be well on your way to becoming a female Percy thrower before too long, actually doing various...
Percy thrower, I forgot about Percy thrower.
Exactly. For the benefit of Ben and Jessica, use YouTube, look up Percy Thrower, an extraordinary individual, you know, or indeed Google or other such stuff. Ben, have you got any questions you want to put to either Annette or Jessica at the moment? Given that Jessica, of course, took the very same Communication Society course when she was an exchange student one English year ago or American year ago before, of course, the pandemic.
Okay, interesting. So I guess a question, I'll put it to you both. A question from my side. I guess I've half asked it already, but I guess for Jessica, what would be once, I guess, lockdown eventually lifts or restrictions begin to ease? I guess for you both, actually, let's put it to you both. Which would be the first country you'd like to go to if all restrictions had eased?
Oh, I always maintain Ireland. My boyfriend lives there and I haven't seen him. It's been a year and almost 3 months, and so we FaceTime every day and I call him, and it's been hard apart, but that's always my answer, is I keep just hoping. So we'll see, fingers crossed.
And Annette?
I dive straight back to my family in London. I have my daughter, my two grandkids. Yep, that's where I'd go first. Then I might go off to Venice.
Okay. But beat the other tourists. That's what you need to do.
And the birds clearly agree because they're in the background tweeting away like crazy. It's great stuff. Yeah, coming up, I'll be doing a feature with Sunita, the singer, that is, and indeed her thoughts on a new Disney series that's opened up on National Geographic, all about Aretha Franklin. So my kind of closing question is, Annette, Aretha Franklin passed away, obviously, a couple of years ago now, but do you think that her impression and her legacy of her music still actually resonates well into the 21st century?
I don't know. I don't know whether too many of the good ones resonate at all in today's world of music, or whatever they call it. Sorry.
even with R-E-S-P-E-C-T, unbelievable. Ben, what are your thoughts on Aretha Franklin?
I don't really have any, to be honest with you. I don't listen to her enough or know much about her to give an honest opinion. But I hear her name bandied about quite a lot, probably not for people my age, but I think she'll always have a legacy. But whether it's going to be as popular in, say, 20, 30 years' time, I don't know. But I suspect she'll be part of, I guess, if you call it the Hall of Fame in terms of music, etc., then yes, I guess you'd put it in there probably. But generally speaking, she's probably not obviously as popular as what she was a couple of decades ago.
Interesting. Well, I mean, just in case you're wondering, I will not be asking Sunita to actually join me in a rousing rendition of So Macho. It was something that crossed my mind, but I figured maybe not. GTO, on the other hand, perhaps. But Jessica, what about your own thoughts on this Detroit singer and songstress who says a little prayer for you in the morning and all sorts of other areas? Aretha Franklin, does it float your boat or does she float your boat?
I think so. I think that especially like it seems here she's becoming kind of a figure known for, like, people quote her a lot more than play her music. But yeah, the R-E-S-P-E-C-T one is one everybody knows that, even if they don't know who it's by. So yeah, I don't know how I'd compare that to music, Ariana Grande or whatever's on the radio now.
We could go even further. I mean, given that I actually spent a feature on Author of the Week this very day focusing on E.S. Argentum, who preferred to be referred to as they or them as an author. They or them, E.S. Argentum, works as a co-author with O.E. Tierman, which is effectively a writing duo. It was quite extraordinary. But if you're interested, Annette, Argentum Books will actually take you through the world of they or them, and indeed their work in the Rocky Mountains. I blame their location. I think it's something to do with the Rocky Mountains that's clearly opened up that whole system. And it was quite an extraordinary sort of routine, because again, they or them refused to actually have the camera on. So I also was cameraless. So it was extraordinary, which is fine. But maybe it's like Zoom. Maybe we're just reaching out into a nebulous world. And I was actually speaking to some of the birds in your garden. I don't know. It could have been that case, but still. Ben, I'm going to actually reward you as you made a triumphant return back to the Midweek Drive and this little sequence by giving you that role of asking the two questions to the team. Of course, it's the first time you've actually had face-to-face contact with Annette and indeed Jessica. You have communicated telephonically, but it's like seeing a whole new world here. Don't forget, of course, Where Have I Been All My Life? There. Get it now. It's online, on Amazon and all sorts of other areas, etc. Ben, over to you for those two questions, please.
So, Jessica and Annette, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoom conversation with us this evening?
This morning, yes.
Oh, this morning, of course. See, you can tell I've not done this for a while, can't you? Not alert.
Or this afternoon.
Wonderful. I had a great time. I always do. Yeah, I look forward to it.
And Jessica?
Very much, yes. It's afternoon here, so it was a very good
afternoon. Okay, right, just to confuse things even more, okay.
And you've got your London time, you've got your North Carolina time, you've got your San Diego time, and you've got your Teesside and Lincoln time. It's quite simple, Ben. Pay attention.
Of course, very simple. Will you both be joining again very soon, hopefully?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Perfect.
Exactly.
Until then?
We look forward to connecting with Arthur in the near future as well. Ben, what about yourself? Have you enjoyed actually? I mean, has it been a case of we've kept you from getting back to your flat? You know, how have you found the experience? Has it been okay?
Not at all. Yeah, it's been very nice. Thank you. Very refreshing. It's been a while, and it's obviously nice to see you all again, and hopefully one day in person. Who knows? Let's see.
Hope so.
We'll just keep on going. That's the important thing. Annette Andre, Jessica Burtis, and Ben Lewis. Huge thanks. Keep on keeping on, and be well.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. As the co-host of your Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, it's always delightful to shoot the transatlantic breeze with the UK Midweek Drive team. Together, we aim to provide the best possible audio backdrop for political sanity in the 21st century. This is Phil Lernis, reporting from the middle ground between science and superstition. And you have entered the podcast zone.
Now, the word legend is something that's frequently used when we talk about the music industry, but there are two folk in particular who actually deserve that accolation. One is sadly no longer with us, but one is. The person who's sadly no longer with us is Aretha Franklin. But the other legend who is with us and is very excited about Aretha Franklin is, of course, the fabulous Sunita. How are you, Sunita?
Hey, wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much, Alex. I'm really well, thanks. How are you?
Well, I mean, fantastic and great to speak to your good self. I mean, there are certain soundtracks to one's life and certainly So Macho, GTO, and of course, Love on a Mountaintop. They're all writ large in terms of one's own particular sort of life. So great stuff for that. And thank you for that. But let's talk initially about the awesomeness that is Aretha Franklin and, of course, this new documentary that's opening up on the Disney streaming service in the very near future. It's looking really good, but she certainly resonates, and I think will continue to resonate throughout the 21st century.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, the series Genius Aretha is available from today on Disney Plus. So unfortunately, you don't get all 8 episodes, but there's only 8, but you get 2. So you get 2 a week. So you can get 2 straight away. I've seen the first one. And honestly, Alex, I have to say, I've been blown away. I'm a huge Aretha fan anyway. Aretha's from Detroit, was from Detroit, Michigan, where my mother's from as well. So my mother actually grew up knowing all the Motown kids and singers. They all hung out together and it was, you know, they were all aspiring sort of pop stars and everything. And I was saying earlier that I grew up believing that Aretha Franklin was the queen, like the queen of America. Like, you know, we have Queen Elizabeth here because everyone called her the queen. She was in every household, like, what do you call it? Like fairy liquid or something. You know, her music was played in every household. Her father had a huge church ministry. So everybody just knew Aretha Franklin, like little children, grandmothers, everybody knew her. That's how I knew her. But watching the first episode of the series, I learned so much about her early life and her as a person. And what I didn't know is that she'd been singing in church since she was 12 years old. Quite like young Whitney Houston. And then she used to tour around the country with her father's church ministry as his worship leader as well. That incredible piano playing that she did, she self-taught herself when she was a child and never learned to read music. So genius is, you know, starting to make sense now. But it really kicks in when you go, the whole musical style of her hits, she created that sound. She would get her musicians in the studio and drill them over and over and over to try it this way, try it that way, to get the perfect fusion of soul, funk, jazz, pop that she wanted, and then with her gospel vocal on top. Like, I thought she was just, you know, when you say just a singer, you know, just a singer, but I really thought that she just brought the vocals. I had no idea that she was the genius behind the sound and everything else as well.
And that kind of infrastructure, which leads to two other I words, iconic and inspirational. I think both of which can be applied to Aretha, because globally, I don't think there's anybody who can't listen to RESPECT and not actually acknowledge the importance of that as a message. Probably even more so than Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive in terms of actually messages from that point of view.
Oh, yeah, that's the original anthem. And, you know, when you watch the series as well, you understand where those songs came from. So a lot of the lyrics in her songs, like her sisters used to do the backing vocals for her. So I didn't know that either. They're also very talented singers. And the lyrics of the songs would be reflections of what was happening in her life. So now when you listen, when you watch the movie and she sings Respect, you know, all I ask is for a little respect when you get home. She's singing to her husband, who actually was quite domineering, not quite an Ike Turner, well, not in the first episode that I've seen, but quite domineering, quite controlling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it is her money and it is her career and it is her voice, but he's controlling things and trying to control things. And she's putting her foot down from word go and saying, no, it's going to be like this, not like that. So very strong sort of, you know, courageous woman and, you know, feminist. And those songs come to light and the passion and fire in them is because she, you know, she's singing her truth. So that's really exciting as well. But did I tell you about Cynthia Erivo?
Please carry on.
Cynthia Erivo is the star of the film. She's young Black British talent and she sings the score. Like, I don't think there's any, I wouldn't have been able to think of maybe.
You could do it, Sunita. You could do it. I know you could. It would work.
Crazy for 100 years, maybe, but probably even then, no. But this girl has trained her voice. She always had a beautiful voice, but you can tell that she's trained and trained and trained and worked so hard. And she pulls off the Aretha score incredibly. You're not angry. You don't sort of think, oh, this is awful. It's absolutely brilliant, the American accent, everything. Now, when you think of all the superstars in the world that would have wanted that role, and our little Cynthia Erivo got it. So that's going to make you really proud as well. And she does a phenomenal job.
And again, carrying through the whole notion of here we are 50 odd years after the whole onset of that period in history, civil rights, Martin Luther King, the gradual growth of systems like that. The messages still need to be out there, but this is a wonderful sort of notion of how the sort of quality of the music and the quality of the message, actually, it can't be knocked out. It's almost as it goes back to those gospel roots, etc., that actually the word will out, it'll happen, and this is something to be celebrated. I think, and probably that's the key thing to actually notice about this Disney Plus National Geographic series, that it is a celebration as much as obviously a drama documentary.
Oh, yes, a complete celebration. I think so important, so timely as well with the whole Black Lives Matter that has come to light in the last sort of year during the pandemic. But for, you know, for us and for the younger people, the younger generations to sort of understand that this fight has been ongoing for so many years. Mm-hmm. And people like Aretha Franklin, you know, they might know her music. They may have seen the Blues Brothers or, you know, something where the music was featured. Or they see their aunties and their grannies singing around the handbags, going crazy. But it's like this powerful woman, you know, was you know, on the front line of change, and that the fight started so long ago, and you know this isn't something new. Yeah.
So let's get down to the details. As we say, it's on National Geographic, part of the Disney Plus scenario. Yeah. You can actually access that literally from the 4th of June. If you're listening to this on the 4th of June, fantastic. Okay. If you're not, then obviously catch up later in all sorts of ways. Need to ask you a question, Sunita. What are your favourite Aretha Franklin songs? Do you have a particular one which you think, yeah, I'd always go for that particular one? This would be my go-to Aretha song.
Okay, well, there's many that I love for different reasons, of course, and actually I love them all. But I love Say a Little Prayer for You because I'm also a woman of faith, and I love the fact that that sort of pulls her faith in.
Forever.
I wondered, like, is she singing to her children? Is she singing to her mother, to someone she loves? It's just a beautiful, beautiful song. And it's her at her effortless sort of best, I think.
The moment you wake up, you say a little prayer for you. It's all connected in all sorts of wonderful ways. Okay, similar question. What about yourself? We're going to wrap up with a Sunita classic. We have to. I mean, it's so fantastic to actually feature on the program, etc. Which one would you say from your amazing oeuvre would you like to actually sort of wrap up this little piece with?
Wow, from Aretha to Sunita. Let's do Right Back Where We Started From.
Genius. Two final questions for yourself, Sunita. The standard lines for ourselves on the Midweek Drive. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the program today? Has it been okay for you?
Yes, it's been reasonably interesting. I don't know what on earth is it behind you on the screen.
Oh, that's the Midweek Drive Morning Edition logo. That's just a sort of line from that point of view. It's sort of zooming along in its own way, but that's why we can change all sorts of things. I was actually sort of contemplating whether, given that I've actually just finished off marking a whole range of student work and various other bits and pieces, I actually should have celebrated by quite literally actually going on to the beach. But then I thought, yes. No, perhaps not. You know,
I like that one.
Yeah, it's a way forward. So the next final critical question is, can we prevail upon you to join us again? Will you come and connect with us in the not-too-distant future? Can we have more Sunita goodness?
Oh, thank you so much. I would love to, because I would love to come back to you closer to the time, because I'm doing Chicago this year on a national tour and releasing a single. So I'd love to come back and tell you, like, ticket details and theatre, which theatre and all of that as well.
That is, and which role do you actually have in Chicago? We've got to share that with us.
This is funny. When they first contacted and asked me to if I'd want to do it, I assumed they were calling me about Roxy, because they called me about Roxy before. And I was kind of contemplating, gosh, that's quite a lot of work. And I said, oh, Roxy, she's on stage a lot. It's quite hard work. Okay, let me think. And then the director said, Sunita. And I was like, yes. She said, darling, we're calling you about Mama. So that's when That's how you know you've come of age. And I was like, how dare you? But okay.
Yeah, I'd automatically pegged you as Roxy. I thought that was going to be good. I mean, not that you're going to actually be fantastic as Mama, but that's, I'm shocked. Absolutely. Sunita, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self. We are right back where we started from. This is Sunita. Huge thanks. Keep on keeping on, and bye for now.
Thank you.